Farm Talk in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. I'm Mick Kerr, and he is North Dakota State University Extension weed specialist, Dr. Joe Eichle. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Mick.
The winter meeting season is behind us. Looking back, did you have a great winter?
You know, it ended up being a pretty good one. So, for the most part, we are back in person at meetings. Didn't get too affected by the weather as far as in-person meetings, and had a couple scheduled virtual ones that had some pretty good attendance. So, all in all, about almost back to normal, I guess.
And always good interest in weeds and weed control because, man, they sure rob crops of yield and profit. So, with adequate moisture this spring. We had good moisture last fall. We had a flush, especially acacia and even some pigweeds last fall, maybe some seed production. How concerned are you about a major weed year in 2022?
Well, so at this point, I think we'll probably be, I'll just say, an average weed year. Of course, the next several weeks can really determine if we'll have more or less weeds. So some of the things I'd addressed over the winter, going back into the fall, and once we got into September, got some rainfall in most areas, and that stimulated these winter annual weeds that, for the most part, we did not deal with last summer. So weeds like horseweed or mare's tail, if you're out in the west, narrowleaf hawksbeard, didn't have a lot of those last summer because of the lack of precipitation in the fall of 2020. Now, we had some precipitation this past fall. I'm kind of telling everyone, prep for those weeds again. I would expect to see them again with the vengeance out in the fields right now. And once we finally start getting some heat units, they're gonna green up and start bolting. Other weed we talked a lot about this winter would be acacia, just because of how well it survived the drought conditions last year, produced a lot of seed, and so would certainly expect a lot of acacia in many fields, and have already had some reports of emerged acacia already.
Heard that from Jason Hansen earlier today. In March, emerged acacia. That does happen, though, especially when we see what happens. The soil warms up to 33 degrees, and poof, acacia appears?
Yep, so that's one of the first weeds out of the ground, very tolerant of cold temperatures, and basically it takes a couple of sunny days in a row with some moisture, and if we get a couple of sunny days in the 40s or 50s, that's enough to stimulate that acacia, the first flush of the year. And then we always kind of wonder, well, if we get a hard freeze or something, will that kill it off? And typically, no. Acacia can tolerate some colder temperatures, so even if we get down into the low 20s, I would expect all that acacia that is up right now to survive. And it'll basically hang on for now until we get into some real warm weather, but just kind of the cautionary tale of that weed is already up and ready to start causing headaches for us.
Wow. So what's the deal with acacia? Has it got antifreeze in its veins or stomata? Or what? How does it survive the low 20s?
You know, that's probably a really good way to phrase it. Certainly is a lot easier to understand than going into the biochemistry and everything behind why it survives, but basically, yeah, it's being a cold weather plant, or at least surviving these colder temperatures, does survive said frost in the low 20s, maybe even upper teens. And I'm gonna go with you. You said it best.
Got a little antifreeze.
Rather than get into the fine details, antifreeze in the veins is the best way to phrase it.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a product of its environment. If it's going to flourish in the Dakotas, it better be able to survive some 20s either in the fall or especially in the spring, because this is a good example of early April weather. Man, what a setback today. So, all right. So, acacia is rearing its ugly head already. Best herbicide for control of acacia, because it's too late for pre-emerge on acacia. What do we do?
Well, and so a couple of things to consider there. I still wouldn't say it's certainly not too late for pre-emerge on acacia. We will have additional flushes. So especially if you're in conventional till, you're going to till up whatever plants are there, and then when you plant a crop, there'll still be more kochia that comes up later. So for the kochia that's up now, certainly conventional tillage, thorough job, you can wipe out the emerged plants. Otherwise, if you're in a no-till situation, that's where products like Gramoxone is typically, or Paraquat is the AI, the active ingredient. That's one of our best ones year in and year out. Sharpen, active ingredient there is saflufenacil, but that would probably be the next on the hit list or the good list for chemicals for control and emerged kochia. And there's a couple other products that we'll use in several different crops, things like Spartan Charge. Can use ahead of a number of our broadleaf crops. And as long as the kochia is small, half inch, 1 inch, when we use a product like that, we can get it. But usually all those products I just mentioned, you need to have good coverage. They're contact herbicide, so good coverage. Usually make sure you get the right adjuvant package together. And those will be our best options in a no-till situation to control the emerged kochia.
Visiting with Joe Eichle, North Dakota State University Extension Weed Specialist. Joe, you are in the information supplying, not the herbicide supplying side of the business. So I don't know. There's a little anxiety about being able to get glyphosate, even glufosinate, some of the other chemicals out there. Are you hearing that, or are we going to get through this season kind of finding what we need?
Well, there's certainly some anxiety out there still. Some products have kind of opened up in the past couple of weeks, so sounds like most people are able to get glyphosate now, which is a huge relief for many. One of the issues there is the price is higher than what anyone would really want it to be at, so still kind of reflective of an overall tight supply of that product, but it sounds like most can get their hands on it. The one that's really causing the most anxiety now is glufosinate, so the major brand name Liberty. So a lot of people don't have that in their inventory yet. It is starting to get moved around the countryside. And whether that's North Dakota countryside, I don't know. But as far as the U.S., sounds like it is starting to move some. But it's certainly, with the increased price on that one, how tight the supply is, I think people who want to use it are going to have some anxiety until they actually have it in their shed.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe this cold weather can allow the trucks to get caught up a little bit more and get some product delivered to help alleviate that pressure on that chemical. But I think that's the one we're going to hear the most anxiety about moving forward. And then, as people are trying to figure out, okay, if I can't use glufosinate, what else can I use? We're having some trickle-down effect of some tight supplies, increased costs for some other herbicides, and it's going to vary by elevator, by region. But some of them are getting tighter, a little bit more expensive, but I don't think we're going to have major shortages. One exception being glufosinate. I don't know if that's going to be short, but I'll put it this way. I'm having difficulty getting it for my research program. So,
all right. Well, word to the wise there. Somebody told me last week, over-communicate with your supplier. I think that's probably the best advice. Make sure you let them know early and often what you need. So, all right.
Yep, that's great advice to live by this year.
Joe, so Palmer amaranth, last year, the good news was we were finding it because people were looking for it. The bad news is we were finding it. What's your forecast for Palmer and some of the other pigweeds for 2022?
Yeah, so with Palmer, my guess is each year we're going to find a few new populations. That certainly has been the case over the past couple years. So some of the good news is that some of these operations where we have found Palmer, if we've aggressively hand weeded it or even just monitoring it, it doesn't appear to be spreading like wildfire, at least to date. So that's kind of the good news there. If we can continue to monitor, stay on top of populations, we're certainly going to stand a pretty good chance of keeping that one in check. Water hemp, is just going to continue to be problematic. So I probably had very limited questions on water hemp last year until it started raining again in July and in August. And so some of the areas of the state where we deal with that as our top weed. We probably thought we had a good handle on it, and then come August, September, you just could see how many plants did escape. So we had a lot of water hemp go to seed last year, despite the fact there that was pretty good control until late. And I expect once we get some heat units and start thinking about planting, getting into the field sometime early May, I would expect water hemp to be up and be just as problematic as it has ever been.
Wow. And continuing to spread west and north?
Yeah. And so basically every county in the eastern half of the state, we can find at least a field with some water hemp in it. Most problematic areas are still roughly draw a line from Fargo to Jamestown and south, and that's where we deal with it year in and year out. But it's certainly become more problematic further in the Red River North, in the Red River Valley, and it can spread via floodwaters. And so I guess not having a large flood this year is good to slow down the spread into new areas. But I just think as we're going to continue to see that weed be problematic, just with how much seed it produces, herbicide resistance that it has, I just think it's going to be continuing to spread north and west. The rate of spread, that's what we'll continue to monitor.
Gotcha. Joe Eichley, NDSU Extension Weed Specialist, thank you so much for being vigilant and having great info. Appreciate it, Joe. And we'll worry more about water hemp than maybe Palmer this year, or I'll at least keep our eyes peeled. So thank you for a great visit.
Yep, thank you.
Talk to you later. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and encourage sunflowers next on Farm Talk.